This morning, a sermon in two parts, and I want to make sure we get our order right. Act 1, the first part, we'll title The Beloved. It's critical you understand that comes first in the proclamation of the good news. Jesus was, you are, chosen, beloved, precious children of God. Only then, once that is declared and known, is there a grateful, joyful response. In Jesus' case, he turns from the baptismal waters and goes into the wilderness for fasting and temptation. In our case, it's the Spirit of God which claims us and empowers us and sends us out to do God's service. First you're loved, then you're called. First you're saved, then you're sent. First you're chosen, then you're serving. It isn't the other way around. It isn't you have to do enough good things or give or serve or say enough in order for God to love you. No, you are loved and claimed. You are saved and forgiven because of who God is and because of God's great love for you. You whom he calls precious and chosen and named and honored. Loved first by God, then sent by God for work in the world. Make sure you get the order right. Seems to me it's like a symphony in two movements. It's like a game in two halves. It's a drama in two acts. It's a movie and then later a sequel. The first movement is all about who you are, your identity, your being. You are baptized. You are chosen. You are beloved of God. You are forgiven. You are saved. You are heirs of heaven's riches. Baptism is about who you are and whose you are. You belong to God, and therefore you have been adopted into the family of faith. You're a member of the household. God loves you and nurtures you and washes you and sustains you. God has acted in Jesus Christ to rescue you from sin and death. As one church says about those who come to visit it, we're going to welcome you and we're going to love you for who you are, and you can't do anything about it. You belong to God because of God's great and saving love. You may be a citizen of Peru or Ghana or the Netherlands or the United States, but your citizenship is dual. It is also in heaven. This is who you are. It's at the core of your identity. If you were a computer, this would be the first thing I would install on your hard drive. Know that you are a beloved child of God. Baptism is the public celebration of that. It was for Jesus. The book of Isaiah has often been called the fifth gospel. I don't know if you've heard that before. It's because you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, talking about Jesus. But Isaiah is filled with such good news, such hopeful news of salvation and God's work in Christ. And it's quoted so often and seen as being fulfilled in the New Testament that, just like Billy Preston was called the fifth Beatle, Isaiah is called the fifth Gospel. In chapters 42 and 43, Isaiah puts the good news beautifully. I've chosen you. My soul delights in you. My spirit resides in you, my servant. I've created you. I've formed you. My breath is in you. I hold your hand. I call you by name. I am your Savior, and to me you are precious and honored and beloved. I could stop right there. Amen. If there's anything I would want young people especially to know in the world today, it's that. Confirmation class, that's the faith you're confirming. You are beloved children of God. In Sunday school, whatever else we're learning, going into the new year with whatever news we're pursuing, this good news is the most important news, maybe the hardest news, to accept and trust. You are God's beloved child, and from God's love, you'll never be separated. That's what the scripture proclaims. It's probably the first hymn we ever learned. Jesus loves me, this I know. for the Bible tells me so. He is strong, and to him I belong. And don't you love how that children's song then says it three times, lest the kids forget, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. In the hymnal, the title is with an exclamation point. Too many people in these complex and confusing times don't know who they are. The church is in the world to help those lost souls know who they are, beloved of the divine. So ends the first movement, the first act, the movie before we get to the sequel. So in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Would you like a brief intermission? Concessions will be in the hallways. No smoking, please, and the building restrooms are down the hall. Hootie, I won't ask you to blink the lights. No, they may never come back on. Let's just leave it like that. Okay, are you ready for Act 2, the sequel? If Act 1 was called The Beloved, Act 2 is called The Servant. There's an old Presbyterian teaching that I've long enjoyed. Probably comes from the 18th century, maybe before. God calls us to service as well as salvation. Act 2 is about that joyful service rendered because we are beloved children of God. This is where the new vehicle leaves the showroom and the rubber hits the road and the odometer starts clicking. Once you know who you are, once you know how you've been blessed and how much you are loved, once you recognize and claim that you are a citizen of heaven entrusted to the riches of salvation, you may find yourself asking, what next? What now? What am I supposed to do with myself? And the answer is, God has purposes for you. You are blessed in order to be a blessing. God has laid claims upon you. God has good work for you to do. The Lord, some of you were up with Christine in the theater. The Lord places Adam in that garden of paradise for what purpose? Genesis 2:15, I'll answer my own question. To work and till the soil. See, work is a gift. And if you've been home over the Christmas break long enough and on break from school enough to get a little bit bored, you recognize work and responsibility and taking on some tasks. This is a gift. That you have talents and abilities that are needed in the world. Till the garden, said the Lord to Adam, keep it. Through our faith, we, the beloved children of God, rejoice that we have a purpose. Our lives have meaning, direction. Did not Jesus say, I'll now teach you to fish for people? Didn't he say the harvest is plentiful, but we need laborers. Pray for laborers to be sent into that harvest to do the work of harvesting. Is not this our call to enter into the world and carry on God's work? Making disciples, praying for the growth and working for the growth of the church and the sharing of the good news. A lot of our work is beyond these walls, isn't it? For Jesus, the baptized, beloved Son of God, no sooner is he claimed in the waters of baptism than he's sent out into that wilderness and then teaching and ministering. Jesus tells his disciples, I give you authority over all unclean spirits, over all sickness and disease. Go out to the house of Israel and proclaim the good news. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Go out, says Jesus, beyond the nation of Israel to all the peoples of the earth. Baptize and teach all I have commanded. Remember, I am with you always. The first movement of the Gospel Symphony is about who you are and whose you are, about your being, about your identity, about your personhood. The second movement has to do with what you do in response to that. And as you go, know that difficult challenges are before you. In the second movement, we encounter that beloved child of God speaking God's word, doing God's work in the world. The servant goes. Now, that's an interesting word, the word go. University students right now across our country and other followers of university scholarship are debating, how do you spell the word go? In upstate South Carolina these days, you spell it G-O, as in go tigers. But there are some who spell it with a Cajun flair. Along the Gulf Shore states, they spell go tigers G-E-A-U-X. We'll have a definitive answer after my bedtime tomorrow. The beloved is called to do. The beloved is called to go, however spelled, to serve. My spirit, says the Lord, is upon my servant. Why? So she can bring justice in the world, so he can further peace and do what is right. My servant will protect the weak. My chosen will extend my light, bring freedom to the oppressed. My servant will offer new life to those who grieve. Isaiah declares that the chosen and beloved servant, formed by God, called by God, beloved of God, and then sent into the world to do God's work, is one who will labor with gentleness and mercy and humility. That may be the hardest part for us to hear, that the servant perseveres, the servant endures, the servant doesn't give up when things get difficult or the way gets challenging. Perseverance may well be the hardest word, the most important word for the church in this new year to claim. We know who we are. We know whose we are. We know we're sent into the world to service. And in a world so far from the kingdom, we must cling faithfully to that work and endure. The work is hard, and often that work will bring challenges and bring even failure and frustration. Tex Sample was a United Methodist pastor and speaker. I heard him speak a couple of decades ago at a conference, and he said we ought to change our new member classes and be a little more honest with folks. Instead of trying to encourage them to join the church, he said we really ought to say, look, when you join the church, you're asked to follow Jesus and do Jesus' work in the world, and that's hard work. It'll get you tired. It'll make you frustrated, and a lot of times it doesn't go real well, and there'll be disagreements, and there'll be failures. It might even bring pain and persecution. So Tex says, so don't join the church unless you absolutely have to. I mean, I wouldn't if I were you. But if you're called, if you're chosen, if you have no other choice and this is God's path for your life, well, then we won't stand in your way. It is hard to faithfully endure. The first thing the Spirit does with Jesus after it descends upon him, and he hears the voice, knowing his belovedness and his life is pleasing to God, as that same Spirit sends him out into the wilderness for 40 days. And then he goes on teaching in Matthew's gospel about the blessing of being reviled and persecuted and spoken about falsely. Doing God's work doesn't often fetch fan mail, does it? If you're getting too much fan mail, you're probably not doing God's work. Doing God's work in the world is often opposed. Doesn't bring thank you notes. Doesn't make friends and win people. Not always. Jesus, we know from the Gospels, is opposed right from the beginning and is even put to death. But he will be faithful to that work and that purpose and that calling. He will be faithful unto death. And for that, he receives the crown of life. It's a gospel in two movements, a symphony in two parts. The beloved, the servant. The first part says who you are and how precious you are and to whom you belong. And the second says you are equipped and sent out into the world for service. Mahalia Jackson sang a spiritual to the beloved children of God who were needing encouragement to go do the hard work of racial reconciliation in the 1960s. You may know the song. Keep your hand on the plow and hold on. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come to me, I am the way. Keep your hand on the plow, hold on. And when the way gets dark as night, let the Lord be your light. Keep your hand on the plow and hold on." She sings, "When I get to heaven, I'm going to sing and shout. Nobody there is going to put me out. I know my robe's going to fit well because I tried it on at the gates of hell. Keep your hand on the plow. Hold on, hold on, hold on." Part one, amen. Part two, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.